morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Spiritually, just like physically, whatever you feed is nourished. Whatever you don't feed is malnourished and gets weaker. Well, unbeknownst to a lot of folks, they are continually feeding fear and feeding doubt. And that's why over the years it has become so prevalent in their life. And faith has not been fed. And so in general, in the world, fear and doubt and failure is hardly even noticed when people talk it. But when you begin to talk confidence and faith, folks go, whoa, what do you mean? You know, can't you see? Don't you feel? You know? And so you won't talk faith, you won't think faith unless you feed faith. And your faith will grow weaker and weaker until the fear overcomes it if you never feed it. This is why we have Faith School. So that on a regular basis, we feed the faith in God. And you can't feed that with just men and women's ideas. It's got to be what the Lord said. And that's why we got the textbook for Faith School is the Bible, the Word of God. And it never gets old. I know I visited a person one time that was going through some issues, and I suggested a passage of Scripture, and they said, oh, you mean the Bible? And I said, yeah. They said, oh, I read that years ago. I began to see what some of their problems were. No, that's like going through the cafeteria line and go, potatoes, I had those back in 83. You know, but beans, I had those back in 75. You know? Well, if you never eat again what you ate, you're going to starve. And the thing is, if that food nourished you back years ago, it'll nourish you again, right? And so don't look at the Bible like you do other books and other literature. It's Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. That's Job says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And so let's get a good, strong, spiritual meal today, right? Not just a little nothing snack, but something with some substance, some cornbread. Father, we thank you so much for being so kind and so good to us, and that you are our good shepherd, and you lead us and you feed us. And so we look to you we open our mouth wide, we open our heart and mind wide to receive of the words that nourish up in faith and that edify and build us up on our most holy faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And you need provision in your life. I mean, every day of your life, you're going to need something to eat. You're going to need something to wear. You need a place to sleep. You need a way to go. And these are just the most basics. You got a family. You got a business. You got a church. You got a ministry. You're going to need a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And as things develop and progress and increase and expand, you need more and more. Well, is it God's will for you to have it?
Yes.
To have all of it?
Yes.
To have not enough, Almost enough?
Nope.
Just enough?
Nope.
How about more?
More.
Huh? More than enough. Is he the God of abundance?
Yes.
Is he Jehovah Jireh? Yes. El Shaddai? Is he the God with whom nothing's impossible, nothing's too hard, nothing's too big, and the God, he, like Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Amplified says, to the full, until it overflows,
yes,
in abundance,
amen,
is what the King James says. So said out loud, abundant life,
abundant life
is his will
for me
and for all.
Hallelujah.
And that's why we're giving reason after reason, 30 reasons through the scriptures, that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now we noticed, and you look with me again in Galatians, the third chapter, we're down to reason number 18 in our study, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see that in Galatians 3. Verse 9, he said, so then they that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then he says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He said, cursed. Is the curse real?
Yes.
Well, why would he be talking about it if it's just some superstitious, imaginary thing? No, every material thing that we see and know about, physical, was created out of spiritual things that are invisible to the human eye. He didn't say he created the worlds and everything out of nothing, but out of things that are not seen. And so, since these things are created by unseen spirit forces and substance, then it shouldn't be a surprise that it continues to be influenced by spiritual influences and can be changed and altered by spirit-filled words and spiritual influences. And these pretty much fall into two areas, curse and blessing. Curse is bad.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds bad,
yes,
right? You said, here, I got a bottle of curse. Would you like some? Just say no. Curse is bad. Blessing is good, right? But another big thing that much of the church world has not gotten settled and are wrong about, curse is never the will of God. Could never be. Not possible that it be God's will for you to be cursed or have the curse in your life. And so, this answers all kind of questions. If you can ascertain whether something is a curse or a blessing, then you don't have to keep asking questions about, is it the will of God? If it's a curse, there is no way it could ever be the will of God for that to be in your life. Well, in talking about provision, we have seen already, and we continue to look at it and reinforce it, that God said he, if you'd listen to him, the blessing would come on you. You'd be blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store. The windows of heaven would be opened and rain would fall and your crops would abound and your herds and your flocks and all of your investments would flourish you'd have so much you wouldn't need to borrow, and you could lend other people, and you'd never be the tail, you'd always be the head, and never be on the bottom, you'd always be on the top. That's blessing.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then we get into the curse, and it's the exact opposite of the blessing. Blessed when you go out, Blessed when you come in. Blessed in your cursed when you go out. Cursed when you come in. Cursed in your basket. Cursed in your store. You won't get rain. Your crops will dry up. Your olives and grapes will fall off the vine. Your herds won't prosper. And then people will steal from you. Have you read the curse? It's all in there. And then every disease that you ever heard of. Somebody say curse.
Curse.
Curse. Curse. What do I know about the curse? It cannot be the will of God for me. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a redeemed one. Now, you know, church-going people have been singing about being redeemed for a long time, but I think a lot of folks didn't read the whole verse. What are you redeemed from? Among other things, very specifically, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, so that the blessing would come on us. Whew. Somebody said out loud, I'm redeemed from the curse.
I've been given the blessing.
Look in Deuteronomy 11, if you would. We'll have it on the screen here. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Something I've said, but it needs a lot of repetition, because the enemy has deceived the church in many areas, many parts of the church regarding this thing. Did you know, actually, I'll tell you, but before we do that, Timothy touches on this. You hold your place there in Deuteronomy 11, but 1 Timothy 4:1, he said, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Other translations say deceiving spirits, spirits of error, and teachings of demons. Now, these don't just occur at satanic churches. The enemy seeks to get these out through the pulpits of Christian churches. The Bible warns us about how crafty he is, about how subtle his things are. A doctrine of demons is a teaching that, and it may be crafted well, and it may be shrouded in some wisdom-sounding things, because there is a devilish wisdom that James talks about. And it may even include some scriptures. You see how tricky this is? Didn't the devil quote scriptures to Jesus to try to tempt him in the wilderness? But a doctrine, a teaching of demons, and this is not just one thought. Doctrine describes a series of teaching, a tenet of beliefs. And part of this, if you read the rest of the passage there in the New Testament, speaking lies in hypocrisy. One thing you'll find about these devilish teachings, the people that preach them don't practice them themselves. Hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creation of God is good, nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. What you see that these doctrines of demons are telling you not to receive good things, and are actually calling good evil and evil good. That's one way to identify it. But you won't recognize it if you don't know from God and from the Word what's good and what's bad, what's a blessing and what's a curse. Isaiah 5:20 talks about this. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good." Other translations, instead of saying woe, they say cursed or doomed are those that call evil good and call good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, they're coming across like they are learned. They are wise. And that's why that the average simpleton wouldn't understand that it looks bad, but it's really good. Huh? And it looks good, but no, it's really bad. And actually, you're so ignorant and so clueless, you don't know the difference between good and bad. And God just has to take care of all that for you. And besides that, He's in complete control anyway. So whatever happens, it may look bad, but it could be good. It might look good, but it's probably bad. This is the devil. This is teachings of demons. And sadly, the church is full of it. You got how many church-going people will tell you speaking in tongues is bad? Huh? Believing in healing. Oh, that's all passed away, people say. And same thing with provision. Oh no, you know, God doesn't want you to have expensive things. No, that's not holy. That's not godly. How much did that cost? Where's the verse that says you can only get the cheapest thing? Where? What is? Huh? These are doctrines of demons that are telling us good is bad and bad is good. Mm-mm. A 3-year-old could understand it. God is good, does good things, wants good things for you. The devil is bad, does bad things. They never work together. They don't swap jobs. Good is good. Doesn't become bad. Good is never a bad thing in disguise. And bad is never a good thing in disguise. A curse. Why would God disguise it? Is He just trying to mess us up? I mean, is He trying to confuse us? No. That's demons. That's the devil trying to confuse the church. And sadly, he has done a job of it. Because there are people everywhere that believe good things are bad, bad things are good. You know, I did a series one time on Would Jesus Wear a Rolex? People would, you see people's face and go, I don't think so. Well, maybe you should go online and get the series and see what the scripture said. But what's wrong with a good watch? How does it advance the kingdom for me to always wear the cheapest watch? Huh? And does it matter? The big thing is how I got it. Right? Now, if you lied to get it and stole to get it, well, that's wrong. But it's not that the watch was bad. Right? I mean, don't blame the watch. Watch had nothing to do with it. Somebody made a good watch. I got a great one right here. And it's very nice. And on this one, and this one particularly, somebody just gave it to me. I spent less on it than the Walmart special, you know, or the Kmart, right? Not knocking that either. They all tell time. But somebody said, "Aren't you embarrassed to think?" Well, obviously not. What's wrong with a good, you know, it took money to build this studio. All these cameras and all this equipment, and it takes a lot of money to keep this going and send this out and not charge for it. Well, it's got to come from somewhere. Does God want you to have it? Does He want you to have the cheapest, brokest, huh? Worn out, everything. Now, don't misunderstand me. We didn't start where we are today. I mean, 40 years ago, dear me, it took all the faith we had to believe for a used car that was not that hot, but it was better than no car, right? And we kept feeding our faith and stepping up and stepping up. And over 40 years, the Lord's got us to a place that we never imagined back then that we could get to. But one of the big things that changed and allowed it is we stopped believing doctrines of demons. Yeah. Oh, come on here with me. We stopped believing religious, traditional junk that calls good bad and bad good. Mm-mm. Sickness is bad. Every degree of it, every form of it, it is not of God. It doesn't please God. And don't tell me that God's using cancer, using this, using AIDS, using a heart problem to teach you something, to bring you into humility and compliance with His plan. No, He doesn't have to use an evil thing to accomplish something good. Now, if you'll cry out to Him and look to Him in the middle of that, yeah, He can even take what the enemy meant for evil and get a victory out of it. But don't try to say that sickness was of God. It never was. It's not a part of His original creation. Go back and look at Genesis. It says on the first day He created this, second day He created... What day did He create disease? On which day did He create cancer? It's not a part of His original creation. And so what happened after as a result of the fall is not an improvement on God's creation. And the human body is made in the likeness and image of God. And disease can absolutely destroy the human form until it debilitates it and destroys it until it barely looks like it should anymore. That's defacement of God's handiwork. That is not a good thing, and it never could be and never will be. That's why when Jesus was on the earth, everywhere He went, they had healings and deliverances, right? And miracles. Why? Because 1 John said He came to undo the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Undo. And He said, you know that woman that was bound with the spirit of infirmity? He said Satan had bound that woman for those 18 years. And He loosed her and set her free. No, a curse is a curse. Only a curse. Always a curse. And a blessing is a blessing. Always a blessing. God is not disguising them. He's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to confuse us. Mm-mm. Blessing good? God's will. Curse bad, not God's will. Let's go over it again real slow. Say it out loud. Blessing.
Blessing.
Good.
Good.
God's will.
God's will.
Curse.
Curse.
Bad.
Bad.
Not God's will.
Not God's will.
No. So we don't want to buy into this religious tradition. And one of the reasons that so many people are so easily fooled is they are so ignorant of the Word. They don't know the Word. And some religions even encourage people not to read the Word for themselves because you can't really understand it. You need people to tell you what it says. And that just makes you easy to fool. Easy to fool. Which is why we spend time like this, right? Going to scriptures, right? Getting them in us, getting established so that the enemy cannot play us, cannot trick us, cannot confuse us. Is this okay today? Nope. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. and he's qualified us for the blessing. Go with me, if you would, to Zechariah, the 5th chapter. Like we had said, the curse is not something that God every day is having to, you know, say, well, you didn't do right, so you're going to be cursed. No, the curse is in the earth. And because it is, unless you receive Jesus and receive your redemption, you will be experiencing the curse. Nothing has to happen against you. It's in the earth. In Zechariah, maybe we'll look at it a little more as we have more time later, but he said, the prophet saw a flying scroll or roll, and the Lord told him, this is the curse, verse 3, Zechariah 5, 3, that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. And then he talked about that people that lie and people that steal and all these things, that it, talking about the curse, was going to bring forth the words that had been pronounced. God pronounced the blessing and the curse all these centuries ago, and it remains. And unless you receive Jesus, you will be impacted and affected by the curse. And if you ignore the Lord, you will be impacted by it. But thank God there is immunity.
Yes.
There is protection. There is freedom. It's called redemption.
Yes.
Redemption. Come on, say it out loud again. Christ has
redeemed me
from the curse of the law.
I'm not cursed.
The curse has no right in me.
No
place and
right
to work in my life because I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
Sing about it and praise God about it tonight and tomorrow and the next day about being free and about being redeemed. Well, our time's up again today. Come back tomorrow. We're going to see more about being redeemed.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390